Pemberton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardis.
The Boilermakers look to get back in the win column with a trip primetime game at Minneapolis to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Purdue coming in with a record of 2-1. Minnesota just 1-3 on the season. The game will kick off at 7:30 on Friday night. Kyle Chardis here for the Golden Black Radio pregame podcast, joined by Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik, the staff of goldandblack.com. All right, Tom, big game on Friday night for the Boilermakers. Purdue needing to rebound from the loss last week to Northwestern, 27-20. A difficult game for Purdue, one that had some opportunities down the stretch, but the offense was not able to take advantage. And my feeling is it makes the game on Friday night a pretty darn big one.
Yeah, certainly amplifies the importance of this, like you said, Kyle, primetime clash with the Gophers in TCF Bank Stadium, which, Kyle, by the way, Purdue is 0-5 all time in that venue on the campus of Dinkytown there in Minneapolis. So, yeah, big-time game, as you said. How will Purdue respond to their first punch in the nose? And, two, Kyle, to your point about that game last week against Northwestern, despite those offensive struggles by Purdue, less than 300 yards of offense, 2 yards of rushing. Kyle, twice in the fourth quarter, the Purdue offense had the ball with a chance to go down and tie the game. They were unable to do it. So I guess that gives you some hope, right? Even without Rondale Moore, with a supposedly gimped-up quarterback in Aiden O'Connell, Purdue still had a chance very much to win that game last week against a very good Northwestern team.
Jeff Brohm earlier in the week alluded to the possibility that we might see some of those guys back that Purdue has been missing. You, of course, mentioned Rondale Moore and that saga. He did sort of allude to it being an injury situation, I guess. So we do have at least a little bit of confirmation of that, I suppose. So maybe he plays on Friday. George Karloftis was in uniform last week, but we did not see him in the game. A possibility he could be back. You mentioned Aiden O'Connell being a little bit nicked up, and with him in the short week here, he becomes a game day decision for the Boilermakers. King DeRue was back, but for just one carry, and it was a weird carry at that, I felt like, on a short yardage situation. Where does Purdue stand with its injury situation going into the game on Friday?
Yeah, Jeff's, of course, is optimistic, was his word, Kyle, that he was going to get some of his guys back. We'll see Friday, and I didn't want to reveal any names. Of course, we continue to watch, wonder, and wait about number 4, Rondale Moore. Kyle, what a more perfect time for him to make his debut, right, against Minnesota on primetime television on a Friday night. Uncluttered football night, right? There's not going to be a litany of college football games like we get on a Saturday. So a good time for him, I think, to maybe announce his return to college football and show us again and remind us again about how spectacular of a talent he is. But we're going to have to wait, wonder, and again, see if indeed that does happen. Karloftis, boy, you talk, Kyle. You know, he dressed last week. He had his left ankle rolled up on in Illinois. They wanted to see if he could play last week in pass rushing third down situations. Tried it out in pregame warmups. Wasn't comfortable. So, of course, he didn't play. I guess I'll be surprised if we see him Friday. But, again, who knows? Maybe we'll see more King DeRue. We all know Xander Horvath needs a compliment in that backfield. He can't continue to carry such a big load. And then, of course, the big bombshell Wednesday after practice. Brohm said, like you mentioned, Kyle, Aiden O'Connell is going to be a game-time decision. From what I can tell, he got hurt on that second to the last play at Illinois when his pass got batted down, or he battled it down himself because he didn't want to get picked off. And if you go back and watch that play again, and I have a few times, Kyle, I think that's when he hurt his left foot. So, again, I think if he doesn't play, it's not going to be a huge drop-off to Jack Plummer, of course. He started 6 games last year. So, long story short, my friend, there's going to be plenty of player-slash-injury drama leading into kickoff Friday night.
Purdue's offense has been pretty pedestrian. I think that's safe to say this season, you know, outside of a couple of good individual performances and Horvath and David Bell, you look at it statistically, it's been just okay Does the return of Moore, if that does indeed happen, solve all of that, or are there other problems?
I think it certainly would help a lot. I think maybe if he plays last week, they beat the Wildcats, Kyle. And, you know, leading into that game last week, Aiden O'Connell was the number one passer statistically in the Big Ten. But the one elephant in the room we all know about still is that running game, right? Again, I mean, we talked about it at the top of this podcast. 17 carries for 2 yards. Look at the Big Ten stats this week, Kyle. Who's last in the Big Ten in rushing? It's the Purdue Boilermakers with less than 70 yards rushing average per game. Until that gets shored up, it could still obviously have their issues against the better teams. Nobody expects this to be a team that runs for 200 yards a game, right? You want to pass to set up the run. For Purdue, you got to have some semblance of a ground game to make defenses pay if they want to focus on dropping 7 or 8 guys to stop the pass. So they need some semblance of a ground game. When they do run, Kyle, it's got to be effective.
What's up with Minnesota?
Woo! Yeah. 11-win season last year. The talk of the country, the Big Ten's darling and Cinderella. Defensively, we all knew there were going to be some struggles on that side of the ball. Nobody thought the struggles were going to be this profound. One of the worst defenses in America. The rush defense is totally abysmal, Kyle. They're giving up an average of 7 yards per carry to opponents. So that's been the biggest issue for them. Some offensive struggles last week for the Gophers against Iowa, 35-7 loss, but still plenty of weapons on that side of the ball for Minnesota. Tanner Morgan, the quarterback. Rashad Bateman, the wideout. The running back, Ibrahim Raheem. I tell you what, Kyle, they got some weapons offensively. The one X factor that I think is hurting them and holding them back a little bit is they have a new offensive coordinator. Of course, Kirk Ciarocca left to go work at Penn State. But again, it's been a rough go for the Golden Gophers so far this year.
Much more to go on the show. We'll get Brian Newbert's perspective on this game and the Boilermakers' start to the season. That coming up. Also, Alan Karpik will talk some Big Ten football with us, give his historical perspective, and maybe we'll mention the fact that Purdue hasn't won up there in that nice, shiny new stadium in 5 games. We'll hit on all that, some more matchups between the Boilermakers and the Gophers. Coming up next, though, Tom's conversation with Sean Williams. That comes up after this game day forecast from WLFI's Annie Brown.
Hey, Kyle. Thankfully, the powerful winds from yesterday have eased in time for Friday night's game. Unfortunately, the warmer weather will remain here in West Lafayette with colder conditions. Returning to the forecast in Minneapolis for Friday. Yes, a cold front will be driving across the state of Minnesota early morning. And while no precipitation is expected, a drop in temperatures is. At kickoff, those temperatures already around the freezing mark with wind chills in the mid to lower 20s, thanks to a chilly northwest wind flow. By halftime, temperatures will have fallen into the 20s with wind chills now pushing the lower 20s. Sure, it's going to be a cold game ahead, but let's face it, with all things considered, it's really not too bad of a forecast for late November in Minnesota. Purdue, favored for the win, will no doubt be bringing in the heat for this classic matchup. As always, boiler up and back to you, Kyle.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
Hey, pleased to be joined by Sean Williams of the Gopher Report, which is the home of Minnesota Sports on the Rivals website. Sean, thank you very much for joining me, buddy. A big ball game Friday night in the Twin Cities between Purdue and Minnesota. And sort of give Purdue fans a sense, first offensively, of maybe what they can expect to see from Minnesota.
Offensively, probably going to see a lot of Rashad Bateman, a lot of Mohamed Ibrahim. Ibrahim's having a phenomenal season so far. I think he's got 728 yards rushing already. I think 12 touchdowns. He's had back-to-back 200-yard, four-touchdown games against Maryland and Illinois. I was able to scrap together over 100 against Iowa. It was a little bit more difficult to rush for over 100 yards against Iowa, but he was able to do it there. But, yeah, that's kind of been the offense so far. I mean, Minnesota's really really done well running the ball. That's kind of their bread and butter so far, and Abraham's kind of the guy there. They've got some backups like Cam Wiley, who's got some spot carries here and there. And Trey Potts, who's kind of a versatile guy like Ibrahim too, is really a really good rusher and can catch the ball out of the backfield as well.
And then talk a little bit about the type of year Tanner Morgan's having a quarterback.
Morgan's, you know, he's been okay, but it's definitely not the season he had last year. He's really struggled with his accuracy. Kind of seems like he's been kind of keying in a little bit on Bateman a little too much. Also, the offensive line is as good as they are run blocking. They have struggled mightily trying to in pass protection. So it seems like it's kind of a combination of those two things. I mean, in terms of pass protection, you know, Minnesota's kind of getting pushed around a little bit in that regard. And Morgan seems to be, like I said, just keying in on Bateman a lot. And when that read's not there, when Bateman's covered, he kind of freezes a little bit and, you know, kind of holds the ball a little bit too long. And he's got sacked a few times. And you know, there's been some times where he's thrown the ball downfield. He's kind of underthrown some balls, got some interceptions that really happened against Iowa and earlier this year too. So it's been a little bit of a struggle for Morgan so far in the passing game overall. And plus, you know, aside from Bateman, Bateman's done a good job. I mean, he's obviously getting yardage. He's doing the things that he's expected to do, but still kind of looking to see that number two guy. Chris Altman-Bell is another wide receiver that's really – waiting to kind of step up and be a little bit more consistent. He flashed really good against Maryland, but they haven't really thrown the ball to him a whole lot either. So that kind of goes back to maybe Morgan focusing in a little too much on Bateman so far this season.
All right, Sean, defensively, I know that was the side of the ball where Minnesota had a lot of questions coming into the year. Talk a little bit about the Gopher defense so far in 2020. Maybe what Purdue fans can be looking for from that Minnesota defense on Friday night up there in Dinky Town.
Well, I tell you what, Purdue's probably going to get some yardage on this defense. It's been a real struggle for Minnesota so far this year. They've lost obviously seven starters from a year ago, but you know the guys they have starting, you know, it's really more of a thing with depth behind those starters right now. You know, a lot of inexperience in the depth, especially D-line. They've struggled a lot at linebacker, but you know, against you know, any team can run against this Minnesota defense, really. And you know, the defensive line has trouble setting the edge. The linebackers, you know, have missed a lot of gap assignments. They've taken some bad angles on open field tackles, and it's led to a lot of big chunk yardage. So you know, Minnesota's defense is probably the worst still in the Big Ten. So they've really struggled a lot in that area. You know, the secondary's been decent, especially their cornerbacks, but Benjamin St. Juste is out, has some COVID issues come up with him. I think he's tested positive, so he missed the Iowa game. So he's expected to be out for Purdue, and obviously he's got to do the 21-day quarantine. So you got Coney Durer on the other side, but then you've got Phillip Howard, who started out as a wide receiver, and now he's a cornerback. He's in, you know, he's in that other cornerback spot replacing St. Juste.
Okay, Sean, the big question, the last question, buddy. Tell us how you think this game is going to unfold.
Well, it's like I said, I think Purdue will be able to move the ball at will against Minnesota. I think Purdue's going to score a lot of points. The question is, will Minnesota be able to score with them? Minnesota's offense is pretty good, you know, but obviously they run into some issues against Iowa. The biggest thing is penalties kind of crept up and got them against Iowa. A lot of their offensive possessions, they had some holding calls come up or different penalties here and there that kind of created some third and short situations and third and longs they couldn't convert. So, really, I kind of see this one. Man, I can't trust the Minnesota defense right now, so I see this one going Purdue's way. Give me a final score of Purdue 38, Minnesota 28.
All right, Sean, I appreciate the insight very much, my friend. Take care, and thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
This is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Podcast as Purdue gets set to take on Minnesota in prime time up there at TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Kyle Charters along with Brian Newbert. We'll get Brian's perspective on the Boilermakers coming off a loss last week to Northwestern. I don't think you can overstate, Brian, how big a game it makes this one on Friday night, right? I mean, Minnesota's not very good. The defense has been really bad. And Purdue, if you feel like Purdue, you know, should at least be, I don't know if contending is the right word. It could have proven that last week, I guess, against Northwestern. But a team that's you know, going to battle week in and week out in the Big Ten West, this feels like a game that's got to be able to win.
Yeah, I think the Northwestern game was a big game in terms of like divisional standings, things like that, because you would have put yourself in a good position had you been able to win that game. I think this is a big game in terms of the trajectory of your season. You know, at this time a week ago, we were talking about Purdue competing in the Big Ten West, all of that stuff. I don't know if they're quite there yet. I don't know if they ever really were. You know, there are still some concerns with this team. I think they obviously have to have solid quarterback play. It would be nice to have Rondell Moore and George Karlaftis. But this is a game here where you're coming off a disappointing loss. You're going on the road to play a team that's really struggling, who the last two times you've faced them, things have not gone terribly well. I think it's an important game for Purdue to show that they are headed in the right direction here and that they're not about to slip into kind of like a midseason malaise here and run the risk of this season being more like last season as opposed to what they want this season to be. So this is a good opportunity for Purdue to kind of break out of this 1 week funk. That being said, you know, the Northwestern game, Northwestern's 4-0 for a reason. They played really well. They're a good team. they did a good job defending Purdue. Purdue is down some real assets. I don't think Saturday was the end of the world, but I think we'll have a little bit more perspective on what exactly last Saturday's loss meant after we see what happens on Friday night.
Is Rondell Moore, is that saga a distraction for Purdue, or is it just a distraction for us on the outside and the fan base?
I don't know. I could imagine that, you know, things like this sometimes within a locker room can probably, you know, get to the point where it's is he going to play? Is he not going to play? You know, perhaps it's anticipation that turns into frustration. I don't know, but I'm sure a lot of people were excited to play with Rondell Moore, and I'm sure 99% of the locker room to 100% of that locker room knows that their best chance to win involves Rondell Moore being in uniform. So I could see that going a lot of different ways. I really couldn't speculate as to what the consensus would be on that, but I'm sure everyone wants to see Rondell Moore in uniform.
I asked Tom something similar earlier, and I'll ask you, you know, Jeff Brohm came in as the offensive guru, and you know, it has been that throughout his 3 years for the most part. This year it has not been. Purdue statistically is in the bottom half of the Big Ten in a lot of offensive categories. Is this as simple as getting Rondell Moore back, or can Purdue do some other things better to be, you know, more efficient, more high scoring, just better on offense?
I think you can always do some things better. And obviously the offense hasn't necessarily been consistent across the board from start to finish here, you know, throughout Jeff Brohm's time at Purdue. And that's sort of what he was known for, that ability to always have big play offense and whatnot. That being said, defenses in the Big Ten are really good. And it's not quite the same as Western Kentucky. The one thing Purdue needs. I will underline, I will bold, I will italicize the word need here, is continuity and consistency at quarterback. That is always going to be the case. It's not necessarily something he's had at Purdue over the years. It's something Danny Hope didn't have at Purdue either years ago, and I think that really, really affected his ability to thrive at Purdue. It's just been a constant, you know, carousel at quarterback, and here we are now. You had three quarterbacks competing for the job this year. Aiden O'Connell beats the other two guys out, apparently. And, you know, you kind of wonder where that, you know, I've always kind of viewed Aiden O'Connell as a good program guy, a good, you know, a good option to have. But maybe if he's your starter, that means the guys with a little bit more upside didn't necessarily deliver. You'd like to see them be in a situation where they have a quarterback with a high ceiling out there, you know, being productive and, you know, providing the offense what it needs to be as good as it can be. They don't have that yet. And, you know, now it appears as if Aiden O'Connell has some injury issues. So we will see where the quarterback position goes from here. But it's hard to be good in a quarterback-driven offense consistently when you don't have consistent quarterback play. And that's the situation Purdue's been in. And that's the situation Purdue has to get out of if it ever wants to be what, you know, everybody expected Purdue to be when Jeff Brohm was hired.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Alan Karpik about the Big Ten and get his historical perspective of Purdue and Minnesota. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's take a look around the Big Ten with Alan Karpik in our Big Ten Roundup. Al, let's take a look at three games in particular. Of course, all of those on Saturday after Purdue plays Friday night. The big one, well, there's a couple of big ones, both in the Big Ten East and Big Ten West. Let's start in the East. Number 9, Indiana at number 3, Ohio State. I saw, though I didn't see it verified, that this might be at least tied for, if not the largest line ever between two teams ranked in the AP top 10. Ohio State favored in this game by 20.5 points. The Hoosiers, despite being number 9, are really going to have to play well to score an upset.
They will, and it's going to be that type of game. Indiana has been, maybe has outkicked its coverage, but I think they've also been very well coached, and they have a dynamic guy in Michael Penix that I think gives you a chance to compete in this game. Ohio State is probably going to have too many athletes at the end of the day to make this a four-quarter game, but, you know, and this is where the betting stuff is nuts. You just don't know, you know, if we don't know between this recording and game time just who's all absolutely going to show up and play, and that could change some things. I like Indiana's defense, though, is athletic enough that it could cause a little bit of a slowing down of Ohio State, and Indiana's receivers are just as good as you can get, with the exception maybe of Ohio State. So I like Indiana to make this closer than that. I just like the way they're playing, but that is an interesting stat about that three touchdown spread between two top 10 teams.
Indiana has thrived in turning teams over. I think they have 12 turnovers and 57 points this season. The problem in this game, Ohio State does not turn it over. Justin Fields doesn't have an interception. I think Ohio State has lost a couple of fumbles, and that has been it this year. The West game is at 3:30 on Saturday, number 10, Wisconsin. Number 19, Northwestern. We saw the Wildcats last week in the victory against Purdue. We had not seen Wisconsin for a couple of weeks, and I think we forgot how good the Badgers are. They looked really good in a win at Michigan. I think it sets up a pretty good game on Saturday afternoon in Evanston, in a game in which Wisconsin's favored by a little more than a touchdown.
Yeah, I like both of these teams very much. I liked what I saw from Northwestern. Again, a typical Pat Fitzgerald team just taking care of business. Defensively, I think Northwestern is good enough, especially in the secondary, to cause some consternation to Graham Mertz. You know, Mertz was good in week in his second game, not as good. How can you be as good as he was in the first one? But I think at the end of the day, Wisconsin will get out of there with a winless, like it usually does, maybe by mere power. Wisconsin hasn't shown that it has necessarily a super running back, but they're super efficient to offensively, and they are the class of the league. And it just was so impressive what they did to Michigan after being off for as long as they were. So I like Wisconsin this one, but don't sleep on Northwestern.
A primetime kickoff on Saturday, 7:30 at Rutgers. Michigan coming to town. I'm not sure. There's a couple of matchups on Saturday that I'm not sure anybody really predicted. Probably none of them, in fact, were predicted before the season started. But this being one, Michigan is only 1-3. Rutgers is the same at 1-3, though the Scarlet Knights have maybe been a little bit more competitive than what the record indicates. I don't know. What do you say about Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines? It seems crazy to say this. Is this a must win for Michigan at Rutgers?
It is, to me. And again, I don't want to predict what's going to happen post-COVID and what athletic departments are going to spend to buy out coaches. Now, I understand Harbaugh's contract is short, But yeah, I think if you want to have complete disintegration of a program, you lose to Rutgers. Now, Rutgers, you're right, has played better. The line is only under 10 points, though Michigan is the favorite. Greg Schiano's a very competitive guy, knows how to defend Michigan in his past days. This one will be really interesting. But, yeah, it's hard to underestimate if there's any hope, and I don't even know if there is for Jim Harbaugh long-term at Michigan, meaning 2 to 3 years down the road, the Wolverines better take care of business on Saturday night.
Yeah, seems like it. That's a Big Ten roundup for week 5.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karthik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical look at Purdue and Minnesota. For the Boilermakers, winning outside up there in Minneapolis has not always been easy.
I think we're the king of obscure facts that really don't matter, but it's still fun, at least for me. It's a matter of that. But, yeah, I mean, Purdue hasn't beaten Minnesota out of doors since 1972. That was before you were born. So, you know, when Otis Armstrong was running around at running back for Purdue and Bob DeMoss was the coach. Lost 5 straight at TCF Bank. It is not going to be as cold a weather night. It's supposed to be in the 30s Friday night when it was, 21 at kickoff 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, when Purdue wanted no part of that game in a 41-10 loss in a game that was important. So, you know, I think it's tough to win up there. Purdue is I think has only won like 7 out of 30 games outside in Minneapolis and didn't really have all that much success in the Metrodome if you take Joe Tiller out of the equation. I think Tiller was 4-1, but other than that, Purdue has really struggled up there. It's going to be a tough game. Even as depleted as Minnesota is, and I know none of this history matters to the current guys, but still, it's just a tough environment up there on a Friday night and no fans, and what will be what we will see in Minnesota, and that is a team that's fired up and ready to play.
Yeah, even when the weather is okay, it's not great. Right?
No. I mean, the first time they played in TCF Bank Stadium, first couple times, they had good weather, and they still got their butt kicked. Purdue. Yeah. And that's a function of maybe a disparity in team strength. But still, it's a tough for the Boilermakers up there. It has been historically.
That's a historical look at Purdue and Minnesota with Alan Karthik. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom, talk some matchups for this game between these two teams. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
And Kyle back here on the Golden Black Radio pregame podcast. We'll bring back in Tom, talk a little bit of matchups between the Boilermakers and the Golden Gophers. Man, Tom, this feels like a game, if you're going to get well offensively for Purdue, it's got to be in this game on Friday night, right? I mean, Minnesota statistically just is tremendously bad, can't stop the run, doesn't do much to stop the pass, giving up a whole lot of points. It has just the one victory. I guess it held Illinois in check, but the Illini were sort of a mess then, might still be a mess now. You know, if Purdue can't get it rolling in this game on Friday night, it might not get it rolling all season.
Yeah, again, last in the Big Ten in rush defense, Kyle, 238 yards per game they're allowing. I mentioned earlier 7 yards per carry. You know, you go on down the line, we look at these stats, they're all abysmal for this Gopher defense. Last in the Big Ten in average points allowed per game too, Kyle, 35.8 per game for the Gophers through four. So you're right, if there ever was an elixir for what ails this Purdue offense, it's this Minnesota defense. You'd like to see the Boilermaker attack get back on track and get fat and happy. Because, Kyle, if they win this game Friday night, look at what's on deck the next two games. They come home, you have Rutgers and Nebraska. So there's a good chance Purdue could get up to 5-1 here as it heads to Bloomington for that regular season finale. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but again, a win over this moribund Gopher team could really serve as a catalyst to a nice little mini run for the Boilermakers here coming up.
Maybe this solves itself if Rondell Moore gets back out there, but it clearly, Tom, Purdue was too reliant on David Bell against Northwestern, right? I mean, I don't know what the final numbers ended up being, but it felt like Aiden O'Connell's targets that direction were about 85% of the time. Purdue couldn't settle on a receiver on the other side of the field until Milton Wright made that great catch at the end of the game. You know, running game couldn't get going really at all. How much emphasis do you think there'll be this week on trying to go elsewhere with the football and not just zeroing in on David Bell?
Yeah, I think you do want to be mindful of that if you're O'Connell or Plummer or whoever's taking the snaps. It's easy to see why you want to throw to David Bell. I think we all understand that. Kyle, he's a quarterback's best friend, makes seemingly great catch after great catch, but he can't do it all. I believe he was targeted 17 times last week against Northwestern. But, again, they need to spread their wealth. You know, we saw Xander Horvath catch 9 passes for 100 yards, sort of as an extension of the ground game. I expect we'll continue to see him involved in the pass game for sure, Kyle. To me, the two areas you got to look for are first the tight end, right? I think the tight ends were only targeted 4 times last week. I'd like to see more Garrett Miller. And Milton Wright, you know, he was a non-factor against Northwestern after having really good games against Iowa and Illinois. So, again, Purdue's got to make sure it's bouncing between Horvath, Bell, the tight end, either Durham or Garrett Miller. And, again, Milton Wright as well to give them 4 viable options in that pass game.
You would expect Minnesota's offense to be better than it is. Tanner Morgan has been pretty mediocre. I think I watched his last game and he just was scattering the ball basically out of bounds instead of hitting receivers. I don't know that he is as good as what he was last year. I don't think he is as bad though as what I have seen him at times this year. Is the danger for Purdue just to make sure that he continues to struggle a little bit and don't let him get the ball to some of those playmakers that the Gophers do have?
Yeah, people really think he suffered because of that change in offensive coordinators. Mike Sanford's now pushing the buttons. Again, I mentioned earlier, Kirk Ciarrocca left to take that same job at Penn State to run their offense. We're seeing Tanner Morgan's completions percentage go way down from last year, Kyle. You were in the press box in Ross-Ade Stadium last year. Morgan, I think, was 21 of 22 passing.
Yeah,
I mean, it was an unbelievable clinic by Tanner Morgan last year, slicing and dicing that Purdue defense. They won 38-31 pretty easily. So you're right. They have to get him on, you know, back in the groove. We talked about, of course, Rashad Bateman. Chris Ottman-Bell is another good wide receiver for the Gophers. And, of course, Muhammad Ibrahim, the running back, you know, 715 yards rushing. One of the top rushers in the Big Ten so far. So they do have a viable collection of weapons offensively.
Yeah, I don't know if Tanner Morgan could hit 21 of 22 against air right now. I mean, he has not looked very good. All right, prediction time, Tom. Who you got?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a fun game. Buckle up. And I think the Boilermakers are going to take this thing again, and it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride. I think the Gophers are going to get their points, but Purdue's certainly going to get theirs. I don't think the Gophers are going to be able to keep up with the Purdue offense and match it point for point. I think the Boilers win this thing 41-30.
Yeah, I've got a real similar final score to you. I agree with a lot of your points there. I think it's going to get into the 30s for both teams. I just feel like Purdue has more offensively. Of course, I felt the same thing last week, but that Northwestern defense, I think, was a lot better than what we even anticipated that it was. But if Purdue gets this thing into the upper 30s, I just don't think that the Gophers can't keep up with that. Purdue's defense is a little bit better than what Minnesota's defense is. I've got the Boilermakers 38-30. We agree.
Yeah, that's good. We'll see. Like I said, a lot of intrigue in this game. You never want to overemphasize any one matchup, Kyle, but again, this is an awfully big contest for the Boilermakers to get back in the right side of the win column.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, for Tom Dienhard, Brian Dubert, and Alan Karpik. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.